It's time for your SportsEdge.com sideline report with Todd Griffin. Talking sports and more here on 1580 103.3 WPKY and worldwide at WPKYonline.com. Here's your host, Todd Griffin.
Good morning, everyone. The sideline report is on the air from 1035 West Main Street in Princeton, the WPKY studios. Thanks a lot for tuning in this morning. This is Todd Griffin of WPKY Radio and your SportsEdge.com. We've got a bit of a basketball-heavy show today, but that's okay. Tiger head coach Chuck Mitchell in the studio with us to start the thing off today. And, Chuck, good morning. Welcome back.
Good morning, Todd. Thanks for having me.
Glad you could be in. And people don't really think of June as being a big basketball month, but you guys are busy this month.
You know, I try to tell the boys, you know, June is our is basketball, because when the dead period starts, you know, of course you don't have anybody, but after the dead period, most of the kids are playing football or are doing something else. So this is a really important month for us to get some stuff in, especially for us since we've lost so many players to graduation, well, six, and we're kind of not rebuilding, but we've got a lot of kids with experience, so we're just trying to figure out who we are right now.
Yeah, summer used to kind of be the wild, wild west when it came to sports, but it seems like the last several years, basketball's kind of taken June and football kind of takes July.
Yes, sir. I mean, you know, June is so important. You want to get some good work in the gym practicing, but I want to see some different teams from different regions, and that's what we've done so far this summer.
You guys went to Owensboro the other day to play at Apollo and saw a couple of pretty good teams up there.
Yeah, we started off actually last Friday on the 5th. We played Crittenden County and Dawson, and both are going to be really good this year. Crittenden County is rebuilding with Coach Jackson, new coach there. And then, you know, I knew Dawson was going to be tough, and they played us tough, and we were lucky to get two wins there, but we got better. And then we went to Owensboro, and we seen a battle, South Warren and Apollo. And, you know, in the South Warren, I bet they shot 55 or 60% from the field. They didn't miss a shot. We only lost by 11 or 12, something like that. But I guess the big thing out of all that was Cam Wilson had 43 points.
That's a pretty good game.
And about 15 or 16 rebounds, and my wife keeps the stats, and I knew he'd had a lot of points. I knew he'd kept us in the game. I had no idea he had that many points, though. But when he puts his focus and plays the way we know he can, he's hard to stop. Even when he gets to the rim, people just can't stop him.
You guys are going to look just a little bit different this season. They've had Jadarius Wilson in the middle there for several years now, and you take the big guy out of the equation, and you kind of have to change your style a little bit.
Yeah, that was our concern. You know, Coach Hooks and I talk about that. Coach Cody Hooks, who's actually doing a lot of stuff, just helping the kids with AAU. He's doing everything, and he's got a real job. He's an attorney, by the way. But, we knew he was going to have to refocus our attention, do some different things. I love to press. We wasn't able to press quite as much as I'd like to. We'd done some of that when we were playing South Warren, when we were playing Apollo, and it really looked good. Played some 1-3-1. We used some different players. We got some kids who are out not playing this summer. They're playing more baseball, but when they get back, I think they'll fit in fine. It's giving other kids an opportunity to play. But, yeah, we're changing our style a little bit, and it's really a lot of fun.
Now, I know you're a bit of a history man when it comes to basketball, and anytime you go to Apollo, I mean, that's one of those historic basketball gyms.
Yeah, I try to tell the guys about their history and who played there, and, you know, they had no idea, you know, so they're young. But, you know, they got beautiful facilities there. The coaches are great. It's really nice. We played in the main gym and the JV. Our JV is you got young kids on that team, and they really probably should have won when we played South Warren JV. You lost by two or three, I think. And we just walked from the main gym right down to the Hawks gym. It's really nice.
Well, and any time you say Owensboro Apollo, Rex Chapman is the guy.
If you can't say King, I said King Rex, and they didn't know. Who are you talking about? And I said, oh, my God, Rex Chapman. I think one of them may have heard the name before. I said, listen, they had shirts made out, King Rex, I love Rex, all that. He was really a player for sure.
Now, am I right? Wasn't Rex Chapman the very first draft pick ever by the Charlotte Hornets?
Yes, he was. You know, and you know, if you can look on there at the battles he and Michael Jordan had, and they talked smack to each other on the court. I mean, Rex Chapman was an unbelievable player. I mean, he could do a lot of different things. He overhead shot fake where he would throw the ball over the defender's head and make him turn. He was ahead of his time a little bit.
It's a shame he only got a couple of years at UK. You know, kind of broke my heart when he left early.
Yeah.
He was one of the first guys that kind of, you know, left before his eligibility was up.
Yeah, I know all of us were, you know, where I was at. We love watching. That was what inspired us. Really.
Yeah.
We love King Rex and what he brought to the table. And he could do a lot. Well, when he dunked now.
Yeah. We're talking this morning with Tiger basketball head coach Chuck Mitchell. We need to get to a break here on the Sideline Report, but we'll come back and have more after this on 1580, 103.3 WPKY.
It's a proven fact. Going on vacation is really good for your health and happiness. But if money is holding you back from sandy beaches, the mountains, or relaxing by a pool, then you need to visit ABC Finance. They can help get you to that vacation destination you've been dreaming about. They offer loans from $500 to $15,000, and decisions are made quickly, usually within an hour. Your dream vacation is within reach with help from ABC Finance. All loans subject to normal credit approval.
This is Todd Morris at the Hopkinsville ABC Finance location.
And this is Courtney Morris at ABC Finance in Princeton.
Whatever location is closest to you, we're here to help make your loan process quick, easy, and stress-free.
We can even consolidate all your loans into one easy payment.
No appointment is needed, walk-ins are welcome, and we can take your application in person, over the phone, or apply online at abcfinanceonline.com.
Be sure to like and follow ABC Finance on Facebook for daily money tips and community info.
All loans subject to normal credit approval.
Feeling under the weather? Visit Princeton Drugstore for quick and easy testing. For only $40, get tested for flu, COVID, or strep. And the pharmacist can write you a prescription on the spot. In about 20 minutes, you can have your diagnosis, prescription, and a school excuse without leaving your car. Why wait at the doctor's office when you can get back to feeling better faster? Come to Princeton Drugs drive-thru today and take the fast lane to recovery. Princeton Drugstore, your quick stop to feeling good again.
Ready for road trips, school runs, or a weekend in the city? Trice Hughes has just what you need. Check out their huge selection of new and certified pre-owned Chevrolet, GMC, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram vehicles, all ready for your next adventure. Their friendly team treats you like family from the second you walk in and keeps you rolling with top-notch service every visit. Cruise into Trice Hughes in Princeton, where the perfect ride and true care come together for every journey.
Henry Ford once said, stopping advertising to save money is like stopping your watch to save time. Advertising is an investment. At WPKY, we get it. While most businesses want to advertise, sometimes it can be tough to budget. That's why we are proud to offer options through our Big Deals program. If you have products our listeners want, you can pay for advertising with gift certificates to your business. Want details? Call WPKY and ask for Heather today. Or email hriley@wkdzradio.com. That's hriley@wkdzradio.com.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580, 103.3 WPKY. Talking basketball this morning with Caldwell County Boys basketball head coach Chuck Mitchell. And Chuck, what have you seen out of your team so far in the summer drills that you like?
Well, we were concerned about, you know, the glass rebounding after losing, you know, 95% of our board work. But we've been pleasantly surprised. We played four games now, and we're on the glass a lot. We're cleaning the glass. We're blocking out something that's a lost art anymore. So we're seeing some rebounding. Keezy Wilson is really coming on. He was a young man as a JV player last year mostly, and he's really come on to show some rebounding power, and he's up getting above the rim.
And you've got a couple of games planned for today down at Ballard, is that right?
Yes, sir. We play, we're at Ballard. We play Ballard first at 1, and then we've got Cairo out of Illinois, I think, at 3 or 4. And then we got two JVs in between there. So we're going there out of region again, trying to see some different players and see some different talent. And we've got, you know, Daylon Wilson's he's going with us. He's been having some back problems. We don't know if he's going to be able to go with us, but Whenever something like that happens, especially in summer, you want them to get better, and we want to give somebody else an opportunity to get better.
And you guys have summer games planned for the rest of June.
Rest of June. We want to use that June up. I mean, I feel better about it when we leave June, that we've gotten better. And, you know, after we got Monday, we're going to Ohio County. We're playing Butler and playing Ohio County, two varsity games, two really tough teams. And then to wrap it up, on the 23rd, I think we're going to Allenville, Scottsville.
Yeah,
Allen County, Scottsville.
Yeah.
And Jeremy's there coaching. He was going to help me before he got the job 2 years ago. So we're going to be playing some teams around there, and him, Edmondson, we're going to be playing them. So we're really seeing different styles of basketball, and it's a busy summer, a lot of practice too. Yeah.
So you guys are going to the first region today,
then you go
to the third region,
Yes,
and then
sir.
Allen County's fourth region.
Yes, sir.
It's basically the Bowling Green area.
Bowling Green circle, yes, sir.
Now, as you look ahead to this winter and the 7th District, what's kind of your first thoughts on how the district's going to shape up this year?
Well, I mean, you know, it's always tough. Like I said, I got to see Dawson early this month, and they're going to be really good. They play super hard. They got some great shooters, so they're going to be really good. Madisonville lost some kids to graduation like we did, and a couple kids transferred, so they just reload. They got so many kids, but I think everybody probably better be watching out for Central. They've got a really talented team. I saw their JV team play last year in a tournament, and they are extremely talented, I'm telling you. So Central's going to be, I think, one of the teams we've got to really look at.
Well, and two of the teams have new head coaches.
Yes, sir. New head coaches. So they're one is new, but he's coached before. Matt Freitas is really going to be good for Dawson, and he'll get them guys ready. The new coach up there at Central, I've not had a chance to talk to him yet, but he's got some thoroughbreds in the stall right now.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see how those battles go. And of course, everybody's trying to get Madisonville until somebody finally gets them. You don't know, because they've won so many in a row, and I can't even remember how many that is now, but it does look like Central has some people, and you guys should be right there too.
Yeah, I think I'm pleasantly surprised the way our kids have reacted to everything. I mean, the bench is up loud clapping, and I mean, it's really good the way the young kids are getting into the game, and I'm playing everybody.
Yeah.
And I think I'm going to surprise some people this year.
Yeah, it looks like you've got an athletic team.
Yeah, you know, Kesey Wilson's paid his dues. He's just all over the place. And, of course, Cam is just a big, big, strong kid. He shoots three, and he asked to come out the other day, and I told him, I said, you ain't coming out until you asked to come out, and he just kept producing.
Yeah.
You know, and then Dalen, and I tell you what, Pax Akins is huge. He's a good point guard. We got two good point guards, you know, in him and Dalen Landers, but Pax is a scorer. He can get to the rim, finds people open. So you know, like you said, we got some horses too.
Now, what can you tell us about the schedule for this coming season, and do you guys have any nice trips lined up?
Well, of course, the West Kentucky Hoops, that's not going to happen this year. We decided, you know, Tory's kind of retired out of that, and we decided we're just going to – that's a tough job, and Tory really done a lot for that. You know, he worked his tail off for that. But Christmas-wise, we're going to Ballard and playing in their post-Christmas tournament. So we're going there, and that'll be after Christmas. Before Christmas, we've got DeSales coming. If you remember, we played them last year.
Yeah.
And he said they wanted to come here, so they're going to come here and play freshman JV and varsity.
Okay.
That's right after we get out of school in December. And then we got Allen County. Scottsville's going to come and see us.
Oh, cool.
Before Christmas. So those are really the new ones. Coach Jeremy at Allen County Scottsville, he was a really good guy. Young guy, very energetic. That's why I wanted him. But he's doing a great job there. And, you know, so he's coming. He's going to return the favor because we're going there this summer. So we're excited about our schedule. We're playing Henderson this year. I wanted to, you know, we want to step it up a little bit and see where we stand. And I think with these young kids, they've got a different mindset. So we're ready.
Now, you had a trip planned last season that I don't think you ended up getting to take because the other team had to pull out because they – advanced in the All-A.
Yeah, they advanced, Round County advanced, and you know that Coach Thacker retired.
Yeah.
You know, and he's got away from Rowan. He's actually helping GRC this year, just to kind of stay around the game, and he wouldn't have to move. Lives right there in Moorhead. I kind of thought he would take a job back up in the mountains, where we're both from the mountains. He played at Allen Central, if you've never heard of that. We played each other when we were high school, but he's wanted to take a year off and kind of, you know, catch his breath a little bit, and I think he'll end up somewhere else next year too.
We're talking this morning with Chuck Mitchell, the Caldwell County boys basketball head coach. We need to get to a break on the show. We'll come back and have more right after this. Stay with us here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
For a store that's as unique as you, there's simply one thing to do. Head straight to the Persnickety Pig, Broadbent Square, Katy's. Make the drive soon. You will not be disappointed.
Powering your lives and lighting up your nights. Princeton Electric Plant Board's community spirit shines bright. Entrusted with the glow of our fields, they keep our Tigers' pathways illuminated to victory. A shout out goes to our Tigers as they roar into a new season. Good luck, Tigers. Here's to a safe and victorious year from your one and only Princeton Electric Plant Board. They're not just a service, they're community.
At Goodwin Insurance, they select their insurance companies the same way you do, very carefully. When you work with the agents at Goodwin Insurance, you can count on receiving fast, courteous professional service with quality protection. You deserve someone that provides comprehensive coverage and is working alongside you in your community. Contact them today for a quote.
Goodwin Insurance of Princeton, Cadiz, or Marion, or online at insurewithgoodwin.com.
This is Kevin Meacham from H&R AgriPower. Get lasting performance from the Case IH MD Series disc mower. MD Series disc mowers are available in bar sizes of 5, 6, or 7 discs. Swiftly handling tough conditions while delivering clean cutter performance, maneuverability, and overall value. Case IH MD Series disc mowers have cutter bar shock protection and independent self-contained modules for added durability. See the Case IH MD Series disc mowers at H&R AgriPower in Hopkinsville today.
We are back on the Sideline Report at 1580 103.3 WPKY. Thanks for tuning in this morning. Talking now with Tiger boys basketball head coach Chuck Mitchell. A little bit later on, we'll have Jabrion Spikes on here to talk some more basketball, and then we'll talk a little football officiating with Jay Davis, who, you know, they're waiting on deck, Chuck, so they're after you. Turning to golf just a little bit now, because the U.S. Open's underway.
Yes.
And you're the golf coach as well, so how's things looking for the golf
team? It's looking good. We're building our program a little bit. I work, you know, of course, getting to teach at the high school. I get to talk to the kids a lot and try to get them to play. And we've probably going to have 3 or 4 girls on the team. We've not, you know, I don't want to say anyone's name right now, but I think we're going to have at least 3, maybe 4 girls on the team. You know, we've got Scotty Courtner and Cole Wyatt, and then Landon Mitchell will be our 3. We're looking for one more to, you know, the guys after the Whittington boys graduated. You know, it's the Whittington era is over for me. You know, I think a lot of those two young men, and they really did a lot for our program. Our school represented well and played, you know, 3 different sports, so they are going to be missed by the school, and they're definitely the golf team. But as far as golf, we're playing in about 4 tournaments, of course the Class A, and then we are playing several matches this year.
Okay.
Several.
Well, and golf is the first fall sport that actually gets underway.
Yes, sir. And, you know, we can have open field. We can go out to the course and hit some. And then you can start after the dead period. I think 15th is the official day, but a lot of coaches start right after the dead period. But because we have a tournament, it's like 2 weeks, I think, right, or a week and a half right after the dead period. So
yeah,
we got to get in there and get after it.
Yeah, I was going to say, usually about mid-July, you guys are getting ready to go.
Yeah, we're ready to rock and roll, and the kids are already calling, wanting to get out there in open field. And I said, you know, I tell them we'll do it anytime you want to.
Yeah.
Of course, Landon's on the course all the time when he's not playing basketball, so we're there.
Yeah.
But the kids are liking to do it, and they're wanting to be there.
Yeah.
So that'll be a lot of fun for them.
Well, getting to four players is big because that gives you an entire team.
It gives you a team.
For the All-A Classic. And a lot of times, there are not a whole lot of full teams in the regional All-A Classic.
Exactly. And that's what I told the girls all winter. You know, I tried to explain to them. And I'll tell you, you know, I got two Brileys, and I won't say their last name, but they're both really good. And they really surprised me when I saw them hit the ball. They got a lot of natural talent, so I'm excited about them. And if we can get four girls, it'd be exciting because we'll be able to compete for a team in the Class A, and we need to get that one more guy that can score a little bit so we can have a team for the. And I think we will for the Class A.
Now, I know you're also a big baseball fan, so what do you make about this Murray State to the College World Series thing?
That's so unbelievable. Can you believe it? I mean, you got ties. We had a pitcher on the mound the other night from Murray State. His cousin is Cade Rowland.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So we got so many ties, but they're just going in and beating teams. They lost that first game against Duke. Yeah, I love my baseball now.
Yeah.
They lost that first game against Duke, and I thought, man, do they have the pitching? They come in. I never seen so many runs scored.
I don't think they worry about their pitching because they think they're just going to keep scoring runs.
19 runs in one game?
Yeah.
Come on now. Wow.
So I don't think Coach Skurka gets too tore up about who's pitching that day. But baseball postseason in college is not really set up for the small school to have success. I mean, you have to go in and play basically five games in 4 days to get through the regional. And as a four seed, you're playing the one seed. And that's usually somebody nationally ranked and nationally seeded. There's usually another really good team there. To beat Ole Miss twice on its home field, I mean, that's unbelievable.
I mean, it's a battle. It must be crazy in Murray now. I mean, because they're headed to Omaha, and I mean, it's going to be fun to get to be able to watch them play. I mean, it gives you something to do during this time of the year when there's not a lot of baseball or sports on TV.
It looks weird, though, when you see the eight teams in the College World Series, and you've got, you know, LSU and Arkansas and UCLA and Louisville. And there's Murray State. But Coastal Carolina's there, too. So.
Yeah, you better not sleep on them. I'm telling you, nobody better sleep on that team. And I'll tell you, that young coach, he is I don't know how long he's going to last there at Murray State now, but he is seems like a really good coach, and he knows what he's doing.
Well, and what a great advertisement for Murray State University. I mean, they're on TV all the time now.
Absolutely. I mean, that's exactly what it is, good PR for them.
Yeah. Do I need to ask you about your Reds? How are the Reds doing?
Yeah.
My Cardinals are a little better than expected. They're kind of in the chase, even though Toronto kind of thumped them this week. But
I know, five or six out, whatever they are. I just kind of worries me. I love watching my Reds. I'm going to watch them play in a couple weeks. And De La Cruz, and they're a young, exciting team to watch. They just, when they start figuring out, I think we got a chance. The Cubbies are right there. They're playing some good baseball right now.
Well, good luck to you guys at Ballard Memorial today, and good luck throughout the rest of June. I know, like I said, it's kind of weird to say it's a busy time for basketball, but it kind of is.
It is, and, you know, before I get off here, I want to definitely thank my AD, Coach Riley. He puts up, you know, he puts up with everybody, but when I see him walking in the door and he's got stuff in his hands, I'm saying, oh, no, what have I done now? But he takes care of everybody, our school, especially me, so we appreciate you, Coach. You're a pretty good dude. I don't care what your wife says about you.
All right, thanks, Chuck. Appreciate you coming in this morning.
All right, thank you, sir.
Tiger basketball head coach Chuck Mitchell with us today. As I said, he's also the golf coach at Caldwell County High School. Stay with us. More basketball coming up. We're going to check in with former Tiger standout Jay Breon Spikes. He's headed to Tennessee State this fall, so we'll talk with him next as we continue on the Sideline Report on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Now's the time to make sure you and your family are financially taken care of for life. Call Josh Ray with Woodman Life at 270-625-0307.
I'm Stephanie, manager of Purcell Tire. We offer a wide variety of options to keep your vehicle running smooth. We are now offering our car care package that includes oil and filter change, tire rotation and tread depth check, brakes, battery, belts, and hoses check. Call us today at 270-365-7291. Come see us at 309 U.S. Highway 62 West in Princeton or visit us online at PurcellTire.com.
This is Colin Pope, financial advisor with InvestFB. Planning your financial future takes focus and a commitment to doing the right things on a consistent basis.
I'm Travis Perry. Playing basketball is a lot like that, setting goals and having enough discipline to execute the plan to reach those goals.
That is where our team comes in. That trusted partner that can keep you focused on your goals. But 59 for 59 from the corner?
Yes, sir. Sounds right.
This is a paid testimonial. The provider has received or will receive compensation paid by the Farmers Bank and Trust Company. The individual providing this testimonial is a current client of InvestFB Wealth Management and does not have additional conflicts of interest. The testimonial may not be representative of the experience of other customers, and the testimonial is no guarantee of future performance or success.
Help cool our communities. Donate fans or money today, and those in need will be assisted through PACs. Find out more at WPKYOnline.com. Thank you to all of our sponsors, Ackridge Farm Supply, Fredonia Valley Bank, and Falders of Princeton.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580, 103.3 WPKY. Again, thanks for joining us this morning. Appreciate Tiger basketball head coach Chuck Mitchell for coming in the studio this morning. Now in the studio with us, former Tiger standout Jabrion Spikes. And Jabrion, good morning. Thanks for coming back in.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Tell us about your future plans. You're done at Georgetown, but you got some more basketball to play.
Yes, sir. The first thing I want to do is just I want to attain that Master's of Business Administration, and that's what I was looking for coming out, graduating from Georgetown, hitting the portal, or not really the portal, but just transferring. And Tennessee State was just one that came up quickly, and I kind of jumped on it early on. So
now talk about the process a little bit. At what point did you decide, okay, I've done everything I can do at Georgetown, I've got to find someplace else?
I kind of knew throughout the season. I was left with Georgetown didn't really have the Masters that I needed, and I had talked that over with my coach. Didn't want to be a distraction to the team or anything, so never really mentioned it on that level. But he was very supportive along the process and kind of helped me navigate through the basketball world in that situation. So
he seems like a good guy, coach.
Yes, sir, really. I would reference him to anybody, really. Yeah. So,
and his teams at Georgetown are pretty good.
Yeah, definitely. Always.
Now, you guys had a really good team this past season.
Yes, sir. Definitely. I think four, about to be probably five, transferred to the Division I level after that year. So it was a really successful turnout on the personal level and the team level. So it was really good.
Now, what are your thoughts about Tennessee State?
Well, Tennessee State, it'll definitely be a culture difference for me, considering my entire career. I've never really really been in a world, I don't know how to explain it. Yeah. In a world, just, you know, there's a lot out there to say, and it was just good to just get that out there and just have a school of that size just reach out to me and want me.
Yeah, are you excited though to be in Nashville and a little bit closer to home too?
Yeah, definitely. Another thing I was looking for coming out was just being somewhere where I could build connections for the after basketball. It was kind of a big step in my decision. And Nashville, of course, you might meet anybody in Nashville. Yeah. So,
well, talk about the coach there at Tennessee State. Did you know much about him before you started looking at them a little bit?
Yeah, Coach Penny, I kind of knew him before he even reached out to me. Everybody I've ever talked to has always said he's a really good guy. Players reached out to me and just recommended, if you can play for him, play for him, and stuff like that. So that was very helpful. Yeah. And it eliminated that worry of playing for someone I didn't trust. So,
now, what kind of team do they have there at Tennessee State?
They had a pretty successful year last year. Of course, they had to play a lot of, I think, four or five buy-in games, which they play and they get paid for. And they actually did really well in those. The one was Colorado State. I think they took them to overtime, lost by one. And they ended up above 500 last year. So really looking forward to coming in and trying to help with those guys. So,
what's the style of basketball? How does it compare to what you played at Georgetown?
It's actually very, very similar. Really, when he reached out, he was like, it's kind of crazy how y'all's system, it kind of, of course, theirs is a little more fluid and has a little more ins and outs to it, but it's pretty similar. So,
well, talk about your play there at Georgetown. Did you feel you had three pretty successful seasons?
Yes, definitely. I definitely think I had three successful seasons. Got better each year. Learned a lot about myself. One thing for the younger kids I always try to tell them is the journey is not always just glittery and glossy. There's some rough parts. I mean, some tough times. There's times I'm not shooting the ball I want to. I'm not playing, performing how I want to, but you still have to kind of walk around positively and be a positive guy for your teammates.
Well, Georgetown is an NAIA school, and you guys were just one game short of making the NAIA Final Four last mm-hmm. season. Some guys can play. Georgetown is a smaller school, you would think, mm-hmm. but those guys can play.
Yeah, definitely. My freshman year, we had lost in the Final Four and was one game from the national championship, and I kind of just wanted to get to that national championship. And that's one thing that I didn't accomplish that I wanted to there. Then my junior, or this past year, we lost, of course, in the Elite Eight to the team that won the national yeah. championship, and that was just a solid team. I mean, we played as hard as we could.
Well, you guys only lost 5 games last season, right? Mm-hmm. And 3 of them were in to one conference team, right?
Yes, sir. Definitely. Sometimes in basketball, there's just those teams that just always get the upper hand on you. And, I mean, we were in positions to win it every time. Just always came up short.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That happens sometimes. And like you mm-hmm. said, the team that beat you guys last year ended up winning the whole thing.
Yes, sir. Definitely. Just a huge shout out to them. They always they get out and go and run a 1-3-1 long. Everybody's 6'8", 6'9".
Yeah.
And they just get after it.
Now, you almost were a 1,000-point scorer at Georgetown, mm-hmm. 981. Do you keep up with your stats very much?
I actually did not know I was yeah. that close. But I just really played a win, and then whatever happens after that, it just kind of just happens.
Now, I saw Tennessee State has you on the roster already. Mm-hmm. They have you number 7. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
So, how do you end up with number 7?
Number 7, it was just I thought it was just time for – it's a new chapter. I thought it was time for a new number.
Yeah.
7's just always been a number. It just always sat well with me spiritually and all of that, with my faith. One of my favorite verses is, "For the righteous man falls 7 times, but rise again." And that was just kind of, I just thought that still for me, because, I mean, I've had ups and downs a lot, especially after graduating high school and stuff like that, personal level, athletically, stuff like that. So it just resonated well with me, and just playing for something bigger than myself is what that next chapter is going to be about, wearing number 7.
Now, how much have you gotten to play with some of those guys at Tennessee State?
I just played with most of them on my one visit. Of course, I've knew a couple of them since before then.
Yeah,
they all spoke very highly of the program, stuff like that.
Now, when you were at Caldwell County, what was kind of your goal for college, and are you kind of on the path you wanted to be on?
In high school, definitely, I got better year after year. Hit senior year, was playing really well. Averaging really high numbers, good numbers. I was really hoping for a Division I spot. I thought I could play on that level. I always thought I could. It didn't really happen that way immediately, but that's how life is. Sometimes it kind of rounds about and comes back to you. And I'm glad I chose the right school in Georgetown College. Was perfect for me. The people there reminds me a lot of here. The community and all of that is very supportive. Everyone's for each other and stuff like that, so it really worked out for me.
Now, did you ever run into any other Caldwell Countyans while you were up there? Because we've had several go up there in different sports to play.
There's actually some that stay like around the school, like in the Main Street area. I can't remember like names off the top of my head, but they'll speak to you, they'll say your name or whatever, and talk to you and tell you about Caldwell County, Georgetown alum, stuff like that.
Now, what kind of memories do you still have from playing at Caldwell County?
Caldwell County.
Does the night over at Hoptown still mean anything?
Yeah, that one actually kind of hurts a little bit. Came up short, lost by 3 points. Of course, numbers wise, I played really well, but personally, I didn't feel like I got the job done.
Yeah. But you had 59 that mm-hmm. night. It's a school record, and probably will be a school record for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Definitely, it's just one of those things. Just playing hard, and good things will happen. I never go out and try to personally just do things like that. It's just one of those things. It just comes along when you try to do the right things.
Were you kind of feeling it that night, though?
Yes. I have a tendency of once I get going, if I get going, then shots just start falling for me, and I just start doing things that I work on, and it's just part of just trusting the work and things like that.
It's one of the few games I remember where Hopkinsville won the game, but everybody was congratulating you after the game. Even the Hoptown people mm-hmm. were even coming over and telling you good game.
Yes, sir. It was definitely good to hear positive things from everybody and stuff like that. And another just shout out to my teammates as well. I mean, I know it's not ever easy to kind of feel like you're in the shadows, so I always kind of always made sure that those guys knew that they were very important as well. So,
but I think those guys were enjoying watching you score too.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Now, what are you doing this summer to get ready to go to Tennessee State?
I've just been staying in the gym. I've been to a few different pro runs and stuff like that. Just staying active and just staying at it and just making sure I'm ready when my number's called.
Now, what do you have to do to have success at Tennessee State? Because I know you've been a starter at Georgetown. Mm-hmm. You're moving into a different league now, the Ohio Valley Conference. What do you have to keep working on to keep getting better at?
Really, the coaching staff there, they're very good at about telling me things I need to work on, things I'm good at, what I need to do to be ready. And really, the things they say is just come in, be myself. I've always put myself as a dog, and what I mean by a dog, just really just getting after it. No matter what the circumstances, up 20, down 20, just getting after it every time I'm out there. And they were just saying, just come in, be myself, and stuff like that. And that's what they recruited me for. So that's good to hear.
So what would be your future plans then for after college?
After college, I kind of want to get into the corporate world. Of course, my major being management and business admin and stuff like that. And I'm getting my master's of business administration, of course, as I said. So really trying to get that right connection and work my way up into the corporate world and events in that field. So.
Well, ought to be a lot of fun with you in Nashville, and I'm sure a lot of Caldwell County people will be able to come down and watch you. And like I said, a great career there at Georgetown. And anything else you want to say about your time there with the Tigers? Because, you know, you keep being a Tiger. You were a Caldwell County Tiger, yeah. And then you were a Georgetown Tiger, and now you're a Tennessee State Tiger.
Yeah, it's nothing like a Tiger, man. And one more thing, I just want to give a huge shout-out to you, Todd Griffin.
Well, thank you.
Just year after year, just constantly just putting out the greatest of work, and I know me and many other student athletes around really appreciate you and all you do for us. So,
well, I appreciate that. Thank you, and I appreciate you coming in this morning. Mm-hmm. And like I said, best of luck at Tennessee State, and we'll all be watching.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Former Tiger Jabrion Spikes, like I said, 3 years at Georgetown. He's headed next to Tennessee State. And what do you got? One more year of eligibility or two?
It'll most likely be two.
All two, so you got two. That'd be good, because I noticed Tennessee State had you listed as a senior on their roster, but
with the NAI ruling, it's not really official yet, but it'll probably be two. So.
Okay, good deal. All right, good luck to you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Former Tiger Jabrion Spikes, stay with us. We'll be back with more on the Sideline Report. Jay Davis will be in here with us next as we continue here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
You only turn 130 once, and Fredonia Valley Bank is pulling out all the stops. This remarkable journey is a testament to the community and the cherished customers, so they are shouting out a huge thank you. And what better way to show gratitude than with monthly giveaways? Stay in the loop for your chance to grab some amazing prizes. Stay tuned with us. Follow Fredonia Valley Bank on Facebook and Instagram, or pop into either location for a visit. Here's to winning and celebrating together.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Great news from Caldwell Medical Associates, now offering expanded podiatry services at the Annex. Anna Murphy and Dr. Walker Estes provide comprehensive podiatric care, from wound care to specialized treatments for foot and ankle issues. Whether you're dealing with sports injuries, arthritis, or require surgical attention, they're ready to tailor treatment to your needs. Don't let foot pain hold you back. Take the first step with Caldwell Medical Associates. Pain-free living right here, close to home.
Life's busy, but keeping your ride in top shape should be easy. That's where Trice-Use comes in. If you're always on the go, their expert team will make sure your vehicle's ready for every adventure, whether it's fresh off the lot or full of memories. With the latest diagnostics, cutting-edge service, and genuine factory parts, you can hit the road with total confidence. Trice-Use is here to keep your journeys worry-free. Book your service today and get back to what matters together.
Have you seen it? At WPKY, you asked and we listened.
Our website now has upgraded features, making it easy to find what you need when you need it. Your local news edge with names you know.
I'm Tammy Hetcock.
I'm Edward Marlowe reporting for your news edge.
And voices you trust.
With your WPKY news edge, I'm Alan White.
Covering the people, schools, businesses, and communities that matter to you.
For your WPKY news edge, this is George Kilgore.
Late breaking weather, local forecasts, and photos.
I'm Josh McClawson with your Ag Edge weather.
Community info and calendar, church events, and local organizations that you belong to, love, and follow.
I'm Noah Booth for Something You Should Know.
Your athletes, your teams, all covered by names you trust.
Eddie Owen here.
Scott Brown.
And faces you know.
This is Todd Griffin of WPKY Radio and YourSportsEdge.com.
The info you need, the people you love. No fees, no hoops to jump through. All in one place. WPKYonline.com.
We are back on the Sideline Report at 1580, 103.3 WPKY. Appreciate you joining us on this Thursday morning. In the studio now with us is Jay Davis. We're going to talk some football officiating with Jay. And Jay, good morning. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Todd. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're batting in the number three spot today, so you've got to knock in all the runs, you know. Chuck and Jay Breon got on base for you, and it's time to knock in the runs.
Yeah, I'm glad. Jay Breon's he's done well.
Yes.
He's worked hard and done well. Got to talk to him a little bit before he came on your show. Really proud of the effort he's made and the attributes and the leadership he can give some other young folks in our community.
I don't remember many players that outworked Jay Breon.
I told him my first introduction to him was way back when I was doing the hoop shoot.
Oh, really?
And he... 8, 9 years old, yeah. and practiced each year, got a little better, moved up and won it a couple times here.
Now, you listened to Chuck and I talk about Owensboro Apollo earlier, and you have a Rex Chapman story or two, right?
Well, I mean, just refereeing for him at the high school level at that time in his career, and he was playing for his dad, Wayne, who had been a star player at Western Kentucky University himself. So I had a little track record with dad from school, but... refereeing for Rex was, he was an exceptional athlete, at the high school level. And like other athletes that have come along in Western Kentucky since then, and just recently, the kids in Lyon County, people that want to watch basketball, went to watch basketball. They weren't from Lyon County. They weren't from Apollo. But if he was in the gym at Henderson County, we had some exciting crowds back then.
I was going to say it was a packed house.
And Walter McCarty played at Evansville Harrison, and he'd come across the river and go to Henderson and play. So, I mean, it's been a luxury to be able to officiate for some of these players over time.
And Rex went on and had a great NBA career. We mentioned he was the first draft pick of the Charlotte Hornets. He went on to the Phoenix Suns and I think played the NBA Finals 1 year. So.
And right now is doing a tremendous job of counseling and speaking on the things that can happen when you're doing stuff like that and how you get your life corrected, because Rex had some problems.
Yeah.
And he's been very outspoken about it and has lent himself to trying to help others now. He's done good.
Well, let's turn to football now, and you've got a meeting coming up next week and looking for football officials?
Yes, sir. Next Wednesday, June the 18th at 6:30, we have a meeting out here at the high school in the auditorium. The meeting is set up for the athletic directors of the 11 high schools that I assign and their head coaches, and any of their coaches come. I also have 11 middle schools. And this year we've invited the ADs and coaches from the middle schools to come. The officials are there, and we go over rule changes, points of emphasis, and Commissioner Tackett talked with him day before yesterday. He had an invitation, and he has to wait till – he says he's trying to see if he's going to be able to get the baseball tournament done by then because they have other rescheduling. But now Julian has committed to come down, and he's going to be there at our meeting as well.
Okay.
But there is an effort across the state, well, really, Todd, across the country, to get people into officiating at all levels and all sports. We have middle school, JV, freshman, and high school games that I assign. Right now there are 772 spots that have to be assigned for the games that for the schools that I assign for. And we've had some success the last couple years in recruiting. For a long time, Brent Stallings and I were the only two people in Princeton that refereed. Brent and I've passed a limit of expectations to do that. David Young has been doing football for quite a while, but just and now I have Bryce Lockhart and Rodney Bell. This will be their second year, and they're both have some great officiating futures ahead of them. And then a Coach McClung sent another fellow my way. Clay Overby has signed up to officiate. So, but we need more. And as you and Scott and the rest of best radio stations have tried to help me in the past, getting the word out in our area. But this would be a great opportunity to come to the first meeting and see who's in the room and get a little knowledge about what we're doing. And then I'll meet with the officials after Julian gets done.
Well, I was going to ask, are the numbers up? And will there be any situations this fall where we have to move games or potentially cancel a football game?
I'd say the cancel is not there.
Okay.
The potential for moving a game to Thursday or Saturday is there. Friday night football is Friday night football, and you and I have had this conversation. This is my sixth year to assign, but it's still there. And some schools, Trigg 2 years ago, didn't want to move a game to Saturday night. They were playing Murray. Murray State wasn't playing at home. And Matt Wilder was still there then. So Matt said the next day, he let me know, he said, you know, we had the biggest crowd tonight we've had in several years, maybe Saturday night. But it all has to fall in place. Murray was close. Murray didn't have a college game. There were fans that were just looking for a football game. And with everything on Friday, they may have had some people from another area there. But there's that opportunity. Our ADs and coaches have been very supportive of seven-man officiating. David Barnes brought that desire here. Coach McClung has stuck with that because it's a wide-open offense and you don't want your wideouts getting held at the line of scrimmage. So they like to have seven. Fort Campbell wants seven. And the rest of our schools, a priority game, a rivalry game, a district game, they try to help us out because what Julian looks for come state championship cruise is who's got experience in seven-man
mechanics. Really? Okay.
Because they work seven for the finals. So he wants somebody out there at least has had some seven-person games.
But each school is kind of responsible for their home game, whether they have five or seven, right?
That's correct. Yes, sir. They may, the ADs and coaches at that school decide whether they want it. Financially, yes, it costs a little more for seven. That's why I think they look for the rivalry game or the – district game where their crowds their crowds are going to be able to support that extra cost.
Now, what kind of new football rules can we look for this fall? Anything big?
The biggest rule change this year is if an offensive player who is carrying the ball fumbles the ball and that ball rolls out of bounds, especially if it's forward. Well, if it rolls out of bounds, but it comes into play more when they fumble and it rolls out of bounds beyond where they fumbled the ball.
Right.
It's a plus yardage. We're going to bring it back to where the fumble was. This is a rule that's been in college and the pros for a long time.
Right. It's the Dave Casper rule, basically.
Amen. Amen. It's a rule that, you know, a lot of high school players don't fumble on purpose and the ball to gain an extra 2 or 3 yards. But if it happens, then now this rule will bring it back. If an offensive player falls on it in bounds beyond, it doesn't change anything. It's only if the ball goes out of bounds. The rest are rule changes. A couple of them have to do with equipment. And then there's a point of emphasis even more this year. The filter down from pros and colleges, I mean, as you and I have talked about in the past, we got some pro and college players that might as well not even have on football pants and might as well be out there playing in shorts.
In shorts, yeah.
So it's a safety issue. If I tell you to pull your pants down, pull your knee pads down to cover your knees, and you do it once, you don't do it a second time, then we ask you to leave the game. And coaches don't want players out of games, but sometimes coaches would rather not get on their players about the way they wear their pants.
Oh, yeah.
They'd rather the officials are the bad guys. And there's stuff in all sports about uniform stuff.
Well, does the National Federation try to make high school football rules more like college and the NFL, or is it just a case-by-case basis? Because one of the biggest issues, I think, from fan standpoints when they're watching a high school game is they will yell out for this foul or that foul, and you're like, well, yes, if you're watching an NFL game, that's a foul, but that's not the rule in high school. So I think sometimes it's a little confusing because every level of football has just a little different set of rules.
Oh, sure. And I guess the most obvious one in high schools is the uncatchable pass.
Right.
We don't have an uncatchable pass rule. They did change. It used to be prior to 09 or 10, maybe not that old, used to be if the pass was thrown to the right side of the field and there was illegal contact while the ball was in the air over on the other side of the field, had nothing to do with this play. That was pass interference in high school. Then they made it relative to the area where the ball is thrown. But we'll have coaches. That's not a catchable pass.
Right.
Not a catchable pass. So, coach, that's a Saturday rule. That's a Sunday rule. But I don't – some of them – and they look at them every year. We as officials and coaches – we get a questionnaire at the end of the season about the changes that were made the last year and things you would like to see changed in rules, and that's submitted to NFHS. Commissioner Tackett's been on that rules committee, and now Mr. McWhorter, who is the Julian Tackett of Tennessee, is on there, and he's been very active in trying to more look at the safety side of it. Our athletes at this level, we've got some great athletes, but not to the overall extent of what you see at the next level, Todd.
Well, and one of the big areas of concern, and it started with the NFL and down to college and down to high school, you'll see plays away from the ball that are called targeting or hitting a defenseless player that 30 years ago you would have said, hey, good hit, and everybody would have high-fived about it. And now those plays are not legal.
Right. And targeting got another form of redefinition this time. The defenseless player is the rule for defenseless players very similar to college. But when you consider that our guys may work – a JV in a middle school and a high school game in a week's time, maybe they work. But film review, getting critiqued every week by your supervisor in the SEC, the amount of video they have to watch every week.
Yeah.
The training is a little – well, it's a whole lot better at that level. But trying to protect kids and people – like you said, when I was playing, a peelback block.
Fair game.
You better be looking and have eyes out of both sides of your head and in the back because somebody's coming after you. So it's but it's a safety thing. That the blindside block, especially when it doesn't have anything to do with the play.
Yeah.
But the blindside block is a great rule. We don't get them all. You got five sets of eyes out there and 22 people, and the ball carrier is the primary responsibility.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580, 103.3 WPKY, Princeton, Kentucky. We're talking with Jay Davis, and Jay, I just brought up about the blindside block and the targeting and those kind of things because those are all difficult calls. And I think if you ask coaches, everybody's for those kind of calls for safety, but not everybody always likes it when that call goes against them.
what's changed in the 120 plus years of any sport and any official? But I have to say, with of the 11, you know, high school football coaches I've got, most of them have been around for a while. The moment the grasp is there, they don't like it. They go back and watch a video, and it's there. If it's not there, then I get the video, and that's great because then it's a teaching tool. And several of our coaches are, they know up front, they see we miss something, they know I want the video. And that's part of what Coach, what Mr. Tackett is going to talk about the other day, when he gets here, is we've had some instances where the wrong player was singled out for an ejection.
Oh.
Got the wrong number, whatever. And it didn't get changed on the field. Well, that's one of the very few things, judgment-wise, that the KHSA will come back and change. All you have to do is send – they want to send it to me. That doesn't work. I can't overrule anything. But if they send that video to Julian and the number was not number 5, it was actually number 6, they didn't catch the bottom of the right number, then the KHSA can adjust that. They're not against penalizing – they are against penalizing kids unjustly and coaches. There was an ejection of a football coach here several years ago. David got kicked out of a game, and it was a miscommunication among the officials. And once it got redone, David got reinstated. Yeah. So nobody wants to – we don't want to penalize inappropriately. But, again, coaches call the wrong plays, players drop passes, and sometimes we'll miss a play.
I said that during a baseball broadcast this year, or softball, that, you know, the game gets tight at the end. Everybody tightens up a little bit, the players, the fans, the guys on the radio, the umpires.
Yeah.
Everybody. I mean, it's just human nature sometimes.
It is. It is. And, again, we've got some very experienced officials, some of them with 30 years on the field experience. Well, 30 years on the field, and you started a refereeing when you're 25. There's one person that's got over 50 experience.
Wow.
And so he helps me when I have to have him. His wife still likes for him to be at home on Friday nights, but she's been telling him that for 50 years too. But
well, once again, tell us about the meeting you've got set for next week.
Wednesday, June the 18th at 6:30 at Caldwell County High School Auditorium. We'll be there about an hour and a half. But if you can't be there, my contact information is 270-836-0449. And if, I've got a couple preachers and one a new official from Katie is an associate pastor. Wednesday night's not a good time for them. So they've already let me know they won't be there, and that's fine. But they'll get a synopsis of the meeting over Arbiter, our website.
All right. I appreciate you coming in and talking with us this morning.
All right, Todd. Thanks for having me.
That is Jay Davis, and still the assigning secretary for the second region for football, right?
That's correct. Yes,
all right,
sir.
All right. Thanks, Jay. That's Jay Davis. Appreciate him coming in this morning. Thanks to Jay Breon Spikes, who will be playing at Tennessee State University in Nashville this winter, and also boys basketball head coach at Caldwell County, Chuck Mitchell, for being with us on the Sideline Report this morning. That's going to wrap us up for this Thursday morning. This is Todd Griffin of WPKY Radio and your SportsEdge.com. Again, thanks for being with us here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
WPKY Princeton.